Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
Hey there, welcome to the Indigenous Vision Podcast. This is officially episode 95. Please forgive the audio quality of this one, a little bit of the struggle bus this week, but we're still going to make it happen. My name is Melissa Spence. Welcome to the show. I'm here with Suta Kaliglast, and we're kind of on like the low energy side of things, but we still want to record a podcast today.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Yes, definitely struggle bus. Like I'm chugging coffee on this side of the screen. I fit so much into these last, like I finally posted the birthday present to myself, which I just got on Saturday from my birthday. And I realized, holy cow, I think it's the 9th, which is way past my birthday. And usually I stop at the end of June. Like I usually promise everybody I'll stop because I like to celebrate. Like once June hits, I'm like, it's party time. I'm celebrating me now.
Celebrating for a week is totally normal. Even beyond that, I think 2 weeks is like good.
I do it for a month, like almost. So when June hits, yeah. And then if I didn't do anything, usually I'm working on my birthday and I prefer to work on my birthday. I just fit so much in. I want to, yeah. What are you doing?
Well, I'm recovering from a cold right now. And what's so crazy is like just the other day I was thinking, wow, it's been a long time since I've been sick. And then guess what happened? I had the chills all day yesterday and it's so hot here in Vegas. And I thought, this is so not normal. Why is my back so cold? And then sure enough, I felt like a little tingle in my throat. And I thought, here we go. So I wanted to get this podcast recorded in case I actually do lose my voice. But I've been really busy. You know, I did the Indigipride event here in Vegas and maybe that's where I caught the cold because it was like a kind of a small room with tons of people. I wasn't wearing a mask. I had tons of people stopping at the booth and the way I was positioned, you know, a lot of people talking at me, like hundreds of people. And then I went to work as a waitress here in Vegas. And that's also a lot more people from all over the country. And then I did an audiobook last week too. So I really got my voice worked out. And like now here I am being like, oh my goodness, I just want to lay in bed. And like slurp soup until I feel better.
Can you do that? Are you able to do that? At least for the next few days, right?
Yeah, you know what? I can do that. And luckily I got a lot of work done. And I'm just really trying to take it easy because I know it's summertime and here at IV, like we want to just kind of slow the roll for the summer so that we can enjoy our lives, especially you. With the fleeting summer months and like here with the extreme heat, I just want to take things slow.
Yeah, I think that should be the motto of life, really. Like it's, I try to remind myself, and I was thinking about that in the days right up in and around my birthday of like, we aren't beings designed to fall into that 9-to-5 system. We deserve much more in life than that. And so I've always tried to work my pleasure into my passions, into what I call work. If it's anything to do with water, I'm pretty lucky. You, music, like probably that's why we're friends.
Yeah, there's like this really cool tour. I'm stopping by your city in October. And I thought, oh my gosh, I should go to Missoula to see the show with Suta because, you know, I noticed not a whole lot of bands stop through Missoula, like big name bands. So this is a kind of a big deal. And yeah, I just did an Ivy Music the other day and there's so much new music. It's like the industry is just pumping out music right now. There are so many young Indigenous artists out there. And it's really great. I have like two other shows lined up. I got a rock show and I have a heavy metal show. You know, I always think of heavy metal whenever it's monsoon seasons here in the Southwest, because it just seems to go hand in hand. So
that's cool. Who's coming to town?
The Bryant's Jonestown Massacre.
Oh, I love them. I think I've seen them before, and it's I would see them again because they put on a show, and it's, you know, there's some people you spend money on and you're like, oh, that was good, I'm glad I supported them. But then they're like, there's other shows where you're like, wow, that was money well spent, because you feel like that was a show. Like there's, yeah, you know, the performers when they get out there. That's kind of how it felt like dancing. Like I'm able to, I bet when you're a performer or a musician like that, you throw on your guitar strap and your guitar or your bass, and then you like transform into this other character, this other version of you, right? Like how I put on my jingle dress and I feel a certain way, like it transforms me into a certain version of me, which is a much more powerful, graceful version of myself. You could tell though when the performers are into it and work in their passion.
Oh, definitely. And I think it has a lot to do with the audience. I've seen artists go to, you know, perform shows where the audience was pretty deadbeat, and I've seen the effects of that like affect an artist too. But yeah. What's Missoula like in like the first week of October?
Oh, it's beautiful. You have to come. All of the leaves are red and orange and yellow. And so it's just a really cute little fall town. And the weather is usually really, really nice. It's beautiful. I'm so glad you're going to be here.
Yes. Jackets and boots.
Yes. Jackets and boots for sure. Ooh. And you're going home soon too, right?
I am. I'm going home in like 3 weeks. So, and then leading up to that, I got invited to go to Joshua Tree Park with a work friend that I'm slowly becoming friends with. They're a musical band and they're really like outsider music, but what they like to do is they go perform at like little tiny bars and venues over the desert and just play their weird experimental music. So I'm just going to tag along and I'm going to help them shoot a music video. They're going to help me do a photo shoot in the desert. It's going to be super hot, but I think I'm going to take a couple days off before I go to Canada to do that, to kind of just relish in the heat. And then I'm off to Canada. I'm doing a super hardcore like family trip. So my grandparents, my paternal grandparents are being honored at this huge feast on my dad's reservation, which is the Kisikus First Nation. It's Ojibwe, Tole Anishinaabe, and Treaty 4. So we're doing that. We're driving out. It's about 5 hours from Winnipeg on the Saskatchewan side, and spending, you know, a couple days out there. Going to jump in a couple lakes, cruise around the territory with my family, and just see all my relations that I haven't seen for years.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. I'm going to reveal this picture of my grandfather to everybody to kind of like see if they want their own print of it, because I got an artist to recreate this picture that my grandfather, or that my grandmother had in her living room, because he passed away like way before she did. And it's this huge picture of him in a war bonnet after the war. And it got trapped in this frame and then it got wet. So it's been stuck in this frame and nobody could get a copy of it. And like for years, we've been trying to like figure out how to get it out of the glass. So I finally just commissioned an artist to recreate it on a print so that everybody can have a copy. So I'm going to reveal that at the feast as well. So I got a lot.
Oh my goodness. That's so exciting.
Right?
Wow. My face feels better in just that five. Not selling anything, but we should be. We're not monetized. But that little tool that I was using, like it feels nice. I'm a massage therapist and I am trained how to do facial massage. And this little, I can't remember what it's called. Is it like gua sha tool?
I don't know what that's called.
It's like a flat disc that you can roll over your face for a face massage. And I just kind of was playing with it and it feels amazing. Ooh, I like it.
I should give it a try.
You should. That's so amazing that you can commission an artist. And it's just, that's, my mom does a portrait art, artistry, and she would do something like that too, but amazing. So are they going to do like pencil or digital or like portrait style?
I'm getting it this week and it looks like it's all digital. It's just this young guy that I found on the internet, and he said he's going to not only send me the print, but show the time lapse of the creation of the portrait. So I'm really curious to see how he went about it, but I haven't heard from him. It's taking him 10 days, which is pretty amazing. So once that's revealed, I will definitely share it on my social media to see this totally amazing recreation of my grandfather's picture, because I've been wanting it for years. Like I live so far away from my family and don't have a lot of pictures of everybody. So I've been wanting to get my hands on this picture for so long. And finally, I just did it myself, mm-hmm. which is like how my life just goes. Just do it yourself.
Right. That's my life too. That's how I figured out how to take away headaches in 15 minutes and still haven't found anyone to work on mine, but I got rid of my headaches by getting rid of stress in life.
Yes. So. It's amazing. And like I was telling you earlier, I wanted to talk about how we cope with disrespect and, you know, cause that just leads to stress and how to keep ourselves healthy and like not in a state of stress, which is so harmful to the body. And, you know, waking up and reading the news out of Winnipeg, there's the landfill drama going on still. The government of Manitoba does not want to search the landfill for the missing and murdered Indigenous women who were killed by a serial killer and then dumped in the landfill. So there's that blow. And then there's a guy over the weekend who went with a big truck full of dirt and covered up the mural that they painted out there and was just pretty much saying, F all of you. This is a waste of money. You guys are just,
wow.
Just when, really harmful stuff about MMIWs and Indigenous people in general.
So and, that is another white male supporting the serial killer and keeping the women buried.
Right. Like that's really what it looks like. He's there shoveling dirt outside of the landfill and being like, take care of your own people. Why are they even in there? Just this totally gross narrative that unfortunately runs rampant throughout Canada. And I know that there's a lot of people listening who might not know that about Canada, but it's pretty racist against Indigenous people. And it's, I always think that it feels like it's getting worse sometimes. You know, we had a couple years back, the discovery of the children in the ground. Now there's all these people who don't believe it. Like there's just this uncontrollable script that goes around and they just kind of like feed off of each other. Mm-hmm. And now we're at this point where people are showing up at protests and being like, you're just a waste of time and money, basically. I thought to myself, okay, I could get really offended here and like spiral into this rant online, or I could like regulate and slow down and figure out how to like process this in a healthy way so that mm-hmm. I'm not inflicting more harm on myself, right?
Right.
I thought, like, how can we deal with all these levels of disrespect, or how can we share how we deal with it so that other people can maybe gain some insight on how they can deal with it? Because the comment section was just out of control as well. And
it is. It is. Every single microaggression I've ever heard, I've held with me, and I still carry them around in a pocket here somewhere, but it's not as close to my heart as it was before. You and I, we credit cultural humility for that ability to talk about and process it, because dialogue has a lot to do with getting it off your heart, you know, and off your spirit and the damage that it causes there. Because those are really, you know, I'm always talking about how words really do matter. So I'm always talking to, especially Onan, on like the words that we use and the words that we use to talk to other people. There was a point, I can't remember which boyfriend it was, but we were driving down the street and I think he said something about someone walking down the sidewalk. And that was a point for me where I was sure that he was not the person for me, because I didn't want to, you know, that's you're around that for the rest of your life. And I think it's really important. And it goes back to my really early water research of how we talk about people and the energy we project towards people and the state that makes them feel. And so like going back to those Winnipeg landfill comments, I think there's a lot of people out there purposefully trying to cause harm, and like we can't educate them out of that. They are, you know, you can't educate people who don't see a problem with the way that they're thinking, or they think that their thoughts are full as is. And but they're still doing these things, these harmful actions and harmful words. And how do we not spiral out and become emotional tension balls and go into this like inflammatory state that causes disease?
Right. And I don't think people grasp that reacting to something like that, like the person who was recording the person dumping the dirt was just in full on like traumatized. You could just hear it in their voice. Like they were deeply traumatized witnessing this firsthand and recording it. And then everybody else who's now seeing the video it's just this crazy web of traumatization and dysregulation of our bodies. And I'm just baffled on how to control it in situations like this. You know, social media has presented such a deep way for us to experience all of these harmful behaviors now. Like, we're exposed to so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I've really had to like contemplate, how can I not let this affect me physically? And I think about like the elder that I've listened to and reading, and how we have to approach with kindness. It's the number one thing, with grace. And then I'm seeing other people being like, let's match the energy. And I'm like, I don't think I can do that. That's a lot of energy to expend. So I get really torn, and I'm like, where do I practice grace? Where is the line with disrespect where I have to actually stand up and do something? Mm-hmm. I get torn between that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went through this, and then people tried to pivot me into where they thought I belonged. And it was like 10 or 13 years ago. And it was because my background is in water and hydrology, and I am a cultural practitioner. And so I can speak well on like water issues, right? But I'm not an activist, and people try to peg me there. And I think that causes, you know, I've spoke about it before, damage, depending on the audience that I'm speaking to, being labeled as something that I don't label myself as. But like, I know this is like a big hairy ball we're building here, but going back to like, you know, words we use to describe actions and transmission of energy, and then how we process that energy. I don't think that us or any of the generations below, before or after us, have been taught how to process like our exposure to what, like sensory. We're in sensory overload, essentially, is what we are as individuals and societies. And I don't think anybody's topic of conversation is around processing and detoxing the amount of exposure that we have. Because you're right, I was just thinking in high school about all of the things that we had and all of the issues that happened, and how social media would have made them worse if there was kids posting and talking crap about somebody's misfortune or something like that. You know?
Yeah. So I'm really struggling to find the line of where to just practice grace and where to actually put myself, but at the same time, keep myself safe, so I'm not like sick and I don't develop something, you know, further down the road. So coping with disrespect is like my new goal. And I mentioned it to you before, the whole healing from racism, meditations that I'm slowly working on to kind of just ease the harm that's going through our bodies.
Right.
Trying to heal it ourselves.
Well, and then if you like really start thinking about coping through disrespect and how much you're consuming it, it really does tighten down like changing and strategizing your social media feeds. Like you have complete control over it. You have to delete the people who are constantly talking, you know, something mm-hmm. that is not benefiting your well-being.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, like, you know, if I say, if it doesn't add love or some kind of equivalent, you know, emotion of joy or something like that, then it can go. There's no need to like punish yourself with having to sit through something that you can't help anything. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think, you know, paying attention to the news is the only way that we can do something on a mass scale about things, but like, it's really hard. Look at Flint, Michigan. Are there water issues any better right now? And that is not a reservation. And that's just a general American town with a majority Black population, though. In a poor socioeconomic area of the city, if we want to factor in those elements. But yeah, nothing has been done about Flint, Michigan's water yet. And it's been a long time. And lead is known to cause all kinds of neurological disorders and impacts. And so I don't know. I always find solace in I'm doing the best that I can do right now. And I can't help if anyone has any more expectations of me, because my expectations for myself are pretty high. That's what really gets me, is I'm always feeling like a failure because I set my bar so high for myself. And I always, and that's by design too, because I figure, you know, if I set it really, really high and everybody's laughing at me because I'm designing that $1 million app, then, well, you know, it wasn't undoable. I met a millionaire who did it. and the app is a success, and we're feeding stories to it, but it's not my app, you know, but it's, you know, you set your goals and then somehow they come to be and you work with what you have. I don't know. We just have to be okay with that.
Yes. That's where I'm at too. Being okay with what I can contribute and how I can help and not trying to be everywhere all at once and trying to solve everything as well, mm-hmm. which is really what I did as a younger person and spread myself way too thin, became way too angry, became way too sick. And now I'm like older and like mm-hmm. trying to process it a lot better. Yeah. But it's exhausting too. Like it's just, it never seems to ease up. And you're right to control the feeds of what we consume. And it made me think of that Robin Kimmerer quote again about how it's not keeping your head in the sand. It's just choosing to live with joy. You know, you really just, we have to, for our sake of our health and like your family, is to choose joy. As much as that clip bothered me this morning, I'm still choosing joy. I'm going to go out today and go get some sunshine and nurture myself. Cause like I said, I'm under the weather today. And it's just like a heavy pre-moon time day. And it's just like, you got to take yourself seriously and your health and your well-being seriously, which is something that I really do now. And I'm really proud of like not freaking out about this clip or going like super defensive on social media, just really seeing it for what it is. Again, like reaffirming what I can do and what I am doing in the community with MMIW, with everything that we do, and just living a great life at the same time.
Yeah. What a horrible thing to do as a person. I just can't imagine what kind of unhappiness he has in his life to go out right. and want to cause that much mass unhappiness. Like, I don't like that you're doing this, so I'm going to do. Yeah. I don't like that. That's
fear and silliness. Insecurity is where it seems disrespect. People who tend to be rude and people who do stuff like that, it obviously comes from a place of fear and insecurity. So mm-hmm. that's his problem, not my problem. I'm secure. I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of anything, really.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know. Yeah, we really are. You know, your reality is what you allow in. And if you can't, I don't know. I feel like that's where schizophrenia and things come from. Excuse me, I am not educated or versed in this subject, but like when we have too much sensory overload in our body and our mind's inability to process it just like hits a wall and we break down. Like you have to recognize when you are reaching your limits, because burnout is a real thing. You don't deserve to bring on. Each of our lives are stressful, especially if you're a Native woman and you're like the person holding, you know, your family or your friends or your anyone together. You're carrying a lot, and then hardly anyone, you know, sometimes unless you have a friend like you, like, and asks, how are you doing? How's your load? Like, do you want to process any of that? Like there's, you know, you got to have your support systems and people to talk it out with and dialogue, because yeah, like there's those first time talking about things. And that's usually when like emotions that you can't control really pop up, where like tears will come out or anger comes out.
So here we are unpacking what it's like to be Indigenous women once again on the podcast, you know. And I was telling a friend at work, she was like, so what's your podcast about? And I'm like, how do I say this? I'm like, well, it's pretty much just me and my best friend talking about what it's like to be Native, is how I like summed it up. And she was like, oh
yeah.
Don't think she got it though, but maybe no. If she tunes in, she might.
No, like I didn't have anyone to tell on Sunday morning. I woke up feeling great because I took a 7-mile hike on Saturday. I skipped out from the powwow on Saturday, danced on Friday, saw everybody, got to say my hellos, and I still missed like 12 people on Saturday, and then didn't get to see many people on Sunday because my nephew was riding and I was at the rodeo, and he's in junior bulls, and he did good. He hung on, no injuries, but not for 8 seconds. Next time. Yeah. So I spent Sunday out at the rodeo, but Saturday I did a 7 mile hike, and I was like kind of on cloud nine because I posted a video, I get in my feels and I start thinking about like past and present and current Blackfoot people and our trials and our tribulations and what has helped us in the past and what could help us in the future. It's like really heavy thoughts. Like those are, and I'm really glad I'm sitting in these big, beautiful spots to process that information, because I feel like I can borrow some like ancient knowledge and patience. Like if there's anything that's patient, it's a freaking mountain who has to watch humanity go through their trials and tribulations and just still stay majestic and beautiful and calm. But yeah, also that was Saturday, and it's just beautiful. I love hiking and being up there on those high spots, but then it brought me straight back to reality, and I got checked out of my Airbnb, which had cameras in it. Have you ever had an Airbnb with cameras in it? Or
I've like never checked. I just kind of live my life like there's cameras all the time, and I just don't care.
Well, I want to make coffee in my undies. Like that's, I don't want to wake up and go through the living room and the kitchen like you know, I'm an episode of The Real World or right? reality show. Like I don't know if I gave consent to that in the small terms and conditions. Small
did
print.
You see the cameras?
Yeah, they were cameras like just sitting on the mantle above the fireplace, and it was pointing towards the door, but it was in the living room. Mm-hmm. And so that camera could see the whole living room, the whole kitchen, and to the other door, both doors. And then there was another camera pointing at the door. And then there was a doorbell camera, and all of these cameras, because I have a Ring camera in my house, so all of the cameras have microphones, so you can see and hear everything that's going on at any time.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was legal, but I just flipped them all down. And then I played a video on if it was legal to have cameras in your Airbnb.
There's been such an issue with that, I've heard, in yeah. multiple countries too.
Yeah. Yeah.
If being recorded.
I think if you need to put a camera inside your Airbnb to protect the things that you have in there, you should probably move the things you care about out, because you're allowing strangers in your house. And so only allow things that you would be okay with being, you know, damaged by a stranger and if they have an accident, right? And otherwise, and if you're hiding cameras, you're definitely up to no good. The house was beautiful. It was located over a coulee, and I got it because I wanted to bring my son, but it was his father's days. I met Marilyn, my friend Marilyn, at the powwow the night before at Grand Entry, and she needed a place to stay. So I was like, oh my God, stay with me. It's like a 4-bedroom house, and it's, I must have not checked. I just saw the price and was like, that's a pretty decent price for that many days. And so I booked it. And then I got there, and it's bigger than any house or apartment I've ever rented or lived in. And it was just really big. And then the cameras were there, and I have a thing with cameras. I don't like them. And so I invited her to stay, and she braided my hair up, which was really awesome. And I don't know, beautiful house. There was just the camera thingy. But then my bubble, my mountain bubble of living with my head in the clouds was burst again when I walked to Town Pump, and this Native man was holding open the door for this non-Native lady. And Cutbank is a border town on the Blackfeet Reservation, so there's a lot of racist incidents there because it's just cowboys and Indians. And it has that border town sentiment towards Natives of like, you need to stay on the res, you need to go back to the res. Indians are thieves. They don't like to work. They're no good. They're blah, blah, blah. It goes on. So yeah, that's the town I grew up in. And one of them, and walked into Town Pump, and this Native guy is holding the door. And I'm like, huh, that lady didn't thank him. And she kind of did what, you know, is the assumption around like, other people of color and Black men, you know, where you like, you think they're going to steal your purse and run away. So she kind of like huddled into herself, grabbed a purse and scuttled by them without saying thank you. And I'm like, huh? And I'm like, well, that's Cut Bank and Browning for you. And so I made a point to walk by him and say, thank you. And I looked at him in the eye and he didn't look at me in the eye. And I was walking fast. And after I already passed him, he just said, shake it. And I was like, oh, come on, dude.
And then the patriarchy rears its head once again.
Come on, dude. I was trying to appreciate you.
Oh, I can't.
I was trying to give him some respect. I was trying to appreciate him. I was, yeah, trying to give him some dignity as a Native man in a town where he probably doesn't get much dignity. I don't know.
So what does he do?
He tells me to shake it.
He shows you no dignity in return, which is a behavior that he's learned from the colonizer. Like, this is, my analytical brain is like too much these days. Like, I can see the Matrix everywhere I go. And yeah. I see it in everybody. And I just think these behaviors are so infectious and it's infected our own communities. It's just unreal.
Yeah. And I don't know. If there's a way, and I think the gay man has a special way to throw that compliment, right? To make you feel it and feel yourself instead of feel objectified. Yeah, there's a difference of like, ooh, yeah, girl, ooh, girl, shake it. You're feeling yourself today, looking good. Versus like, yeah, he's one of the guys who would, you know, domestic violence me and leave me in a field someplace because there was that level of objectification and carelessness with my being.
Creepy. Oh, yes. Sorry that happened to you. Again, dealing with disrespect, all the levels of disrespect that we have to endure it's a lot. I mean, I was thinking about it from even when a child, from experiencing it from my non-Indigenous friends who would make backhanded comments and not realizing they're disrespecting, to my teachers, to institutions, to just random strangers. Like, it is literally from everywhere. And like, despite mm-hmm. all the love that I receive in the world, I get just as much disrespect, it feels like, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that has a lot to do with like colonization and views and placements and labels of women and their usefulness. And so I can't possibly be useful if I'm pretty, right? Like, I am just pretty and sexy and that's it.
Okay. At least we can recognize the pattern. Like, I recognize it. I can tell, and I don't perpetuate.
Well, and that goes into
the best I can do.
Yeah. And that goes into colonization and how women are viewed and how the Native and Indigenous woman is viewed in like usefulness. And it was mostly like someone to help you work and for sex. So sometimes I think about my grandmas and I wonder, especially that one grandma, Mary Mountain Chief, who was married to Joe Cabell, the first fur trapper, as a daughter of White Calf. Like, was there love? And then like, I try to say, well, he was a white man, French fur trapper, who maybe did love my grandma. It was his second marriage, I think. I don't know if there was love, but there was care and there wasn't suffering. And I think that's a lot to ask for in the time that they were in, because that was during the starvation winter when my grandma Mary had my grandma Bessie. So there's so many, I have so many questions for them when I see them.
Same. When I see my family this at the end of the month, I have so many questions. I have so many questions. I'm bringing a recorder.
Nice. That is awesome. I have an elder that I'm going to ask to start recording, because I think I'm about 6 years into this work and I think I need a better filing system and a better recording system, because I'm getting a lot of information. And like, just a few months ago, an elder called me and said another elder needs to talk to me and tell me this story before it's too late, right? Before it's too late is a scary word in our language, but I need to get those stories recorded and up onto the map, because my database is overflowing and getting messy, and it's really awesome and valuable data. Like somebody this past weekend is also getting the location of a story she heard from an old lady, which was almost 85 so or years ago. And it was possibly, it was the last memory that that old lady had of sitting as a little girl with other old ladies in a lodge. And so she's going to find out where that lodge was located. And then I'm going to map that story out. So many cool things coming at me like that on a daily basis, almost definitely weekly basis, every other day or so, plus the information that I'm looking at and looking into. Just the mapping and the hiking has been amazing. And I can't wait to talk about it more next episode.
Yeah, we should wrap this up though, but I'm going to be visiting the water tomorrow. So I'm doing my share to try and regulate myself and get better so I can go home in a couple weeks and enjoy the weather, enjoy the land of where I'm from, and just get out of the heat for a little while. But thank you. Thank you for listening again. This is episode 95. We're so close to 100, and we're going to have to think of something really special to do for 100th episode.
Oh, I know. Maybe that's the in-person one. We'll be to 100 before October, though. But yeah, so I don't know. Thank you for listening, everybody. I appreciate everybody who has listened to us consistently talk about nothing. Maybe you have something to say, too. We'd love to hear it. Even if it's on an old episode, we'll circle back around and have that talk again. But thank you for listening. I hope the world is a sweeter place for you today.
Thanks for checking out the Indigenous Vision podcast presented by Indigenous Vision. We are an educational nonprofit based out of Arizona and Montana, and this is our official podcast. This is just one of the projects that we do have going on. If you would like to explore more of what we do, visit our website, indigenousvision.org. You can also sign up for our cultural humility training that's coming up this October 17th. All are welcome to attend. Again, thank you for listening to the IV podcast.